in the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
And points.
Greg, why did you just put 8 dozen cookies in the cart?
Well, those are for the carolers, and we get points on all of them with Schnucks Rewards.
You think we're going to get 96 carolers?
Better get at least one more dozen then. Oh, how many gallons of milk do you think we need for hot chocolate?
Well, at least enough for 108 carolers.
Get a little more holiday this season with Schnucks Rewards. Download the app today and start earning points on just about everything, including treats for unexpected guests.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Spiro's is bringing class and relaxation back to New Year's Eve, along with fun and the best food. Big events and bars have parking issues, packing people in like cattle, and not to mention the subpar food. Not at Spiro's in St. Charles, where they are only taking a limited number of reservations, a number that's much less than the restaurant holds. Features include premium seating, half price on all cocktails, live entertainment, noisemakers and champagne at midnight, plus the best food in the STL. The outdoor stone Greek oven will be cooking the great food, and you can enjoy your favorites like clam bakes, stuffed pork chops, and so many others. Call today because Spiro's is not jamming people in. They want you and your friends to enjoy great food, ample space, and easy parking. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. Call today to make your reservation at 636-916-1454.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Well, this is Thursday. I think you know by now how this works. This has been an extremely successful segment for the last, 4 years? How long have we done this?
3 plus?
At least.
We started in August of 2016.
Wow, look at you.
Wow. Oh, I know, because I got fired from that other place in July of 2016. And then you said, let's do this, and I said yes.
Wow, so it's only been 2 years, right? 2.5 years. It sure seems like we've done this longer.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're off by about a year.
I might be. That's how much fun we're having.
That's right. Nonetheless, it's been a... very successful segments, helped a lot of people, and I get the emails from the people that you've helped. Folks, this is the segment where you get legal advice at no charge, but you have to know how this works. You need to call now. And for whatever reason, and I've harped and harped and harped on this, people have a tendency to wait. I don't know why, and there's no reason to wait. We got, there's a call coming in, another call coming in, but there's still a line open. And when somebody drops off, you have to jump in and start calling both of these numbers, 314-821-0590. I'll do it again, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Scott Sherman is brought to you every Thursday by the terrific people, the family, that owns and runs Peroni's Pizza. There are two locations, Florissant and St. Peter's. And every Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Peroni's has an all-you-can-eat. You big people, you big eaters... This is for you, all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. And on Fridays, that would be tomorrow, it includes their famous chicken wings. Again, they're in Florissant and St. Peter's. Peroni's is P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. That's important if you want to go to their website, and I hope you will, peronispizza.com. And up in Florissant, they have a banquet facility. They can accommodate up to 100 people. The food is terrific. It's a great family, reasonable prices. I really think you're going to be glad you discovered Peroni's if you haven't already. What do you say we give it up before we go to the phones and give the number again for Attorney at Law, Scott Sherman?
Thank you, Frank. 2015, you are correct. I just checked.
Aha! So it's been 3 years, and 3.5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, I'll give the numbers here again in a minute. What are the most common calls about? I'm almost surprised to find, I think it's about property.
Yeah. Tree boundaries.
That kind of tree boundaries. And wills and estates.
Yep.
I think those are probably the two biggest categories. All right, we're about to take calls one more time for the number. Your smart people will call and keep calling till you get through, and you'll start now. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Greg is up first. Greg, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. Thank you. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Greg.
And mine is more of a traffic question of what I've seen recently, and it's the people who have the light bars on their cars and trucks and use them during the daytime and night. Is there a law out there that says you can only have so much light coming from your headlights?
Now, when you say light bars and they use them during the daytime?
Well, yeah, it's mostly trucks, and they have those LED light bars in front of their truck, and they use them at night, which are very blinding, as well as their headlights. Plus, yeah, I see them during the daytime.
This is a great question. I have an LED light bar on my Trailblazer because I live in the woods, and the deer population is so thick that I want to light the woods up, but I got to think that there, yeah, I'll let Scott take it, but I got to think, yes, there is some sort of law because you can't possibly be allowed to hit people with lights that bright at night coming at you. Scott, what do you know about this?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little squishy on what the lumens are, but right. If you're having something that's giving other drivers a difficulty, you could get cited for that, just like driving around with your high beams under the old lighting systems.
Wasn't there a time when if you drove and approached somebody at night with your high beams on, you could be ticketed for
absolutely
that?
You could. You're not supposed to impair the other people's ability to see the roadway safely. So if it's not a specific lighting issue, it could be careless and imprudent driving. You're doing something in such a way that makes it dangerous for other drivers, whether it's weaving or having your high beams or having too bright of lights. And I would liken this to tint, where there's a rule about how dark your window tinting can be. I would say there probably is no specific LED rule, but there, if a good cop saw that light was causing an impairment to the oncoming traffic, you'd get cited and ticketed for that. And I don't think you'd have much defense. I thought what Greg was going to ask about was having those sort of the lights that are around on the back side of the car that almost impair the ability to see the license plate. I've seen some of these lights where it's so bright you can't read the plate.
On Clarkson. Yeah.
How about some of those new lights, though, on the new cars, those blue lights? Those are so bright
that it impairs you coming at them, though. I disagree. Only when the high beams are on and they're double HID headlights. They're called, there's a word for it, by something, where the low beam and the high beams are both blue, bright blue, when they're on bright.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, the problem is when they're coming at you, Dan, you're used to seeing dimmer lights, so they seem extra bright to you.
Yeah.
I think they're much safer. I think they're safer for the driver, and they're safer for people coming at you because they can see you coming. I don't mind those blue lights at all. I love those blue lights. But even the old-time high beams, if you have them on and you're coming at somebody head-on at night, you can be ticketed for that, even with the old high beams, if your high beams are on.
I think the rule is 150 meters that if you're illuminating from your front headlights, that is about what headlights should be. But anything that has, I'm using the word lumens because I don't know much about the
no, lumens actually is the term they use now. They used to use candle power.
If it's higher lumens than the ability to see 150 meters, you could very well impair the safety of other drivers, and you could be ticketed for that.
So my answer to Greg's question is absolutely yes. If those light bars those things are specifically designed to be brighter than even, far brighter than high beams. So absolutely, you could be ticketed. If you hit those at an oncoming car and it happens to be a cop, they're going to wheel around and come after you and pull you over.
Yeah, it's happening in Wildwood. I see it more and more. All right, thank you very much. I'll give another person another chance. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Greg. And I'm one of the guilty parties there. I live in Wildwood, and I have a light bar. But as soon as I see an oncoming car, I dump those lights as fast as I can, because that could be a cop coming at me. And I promise you, with the light bar that I have, he'd pull me over. He would absolutely pull me, because it will blind anybody coming at me. But when there's not a car coming at me, buddy, it lights those woods up, man. I can see forever, and I'm tired of hitting deer. I've destroyed 4 vehicles hitting deer at night, and all of them were night strikes. So that's why got a brush guard and a light bar. We're going to wait for another call or two. The lines are all open. If we don't get a call in about 1 minute, we're going to dump this segment. That's the way it works. That's tough love, folks. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. And while we wait for calls, I have a question, especially this time of year, that I have never been completely clear on. If Scott, if you're pulled over and a police officer asks you to take a breathalyzer, I've never been clear on this, whether you should refuse, whether you should say okay. When do they take your license? When do they not take it? How long do they keep your license? What is your advice for people coming home from the Christmas party? Let's say you're not sure. You had 2 drinks. You don't know what you're going to blow on that thing. You obviously have the right to refuse. What happens, though, when you do that?
My favorite question. It really is. And 2 drinks is about the place to have the evaluation. First, the authority to make you take a breathalyzer test comes from obtaining your license in the first place. Every state in the United States has something called implied consent law. And that is when you get a driver's license, as part of that, you have impliedly consented when a police officer has reasonable suspicion to have you, that you may have been drinking or maybe intoxicated, to take the breathalyzer. That's where the authority comes from. It comes from the obtaining of a driver's license in the first place. The question about when and where to make that call about refusing or blowing is a great question I've thrown to lots of lawyers, including judges, and here's about right. If you have really only had 2 12-ounce beers or 2 mixed drinks or, you know, a glass and a half of wine, and you've never had an alcohol contact or a DWI before, I would say blow. But don't do it right away. In the same law, the implied consent law, is also a provision that gives the person, the driver, the right to have 20 minutes to contact a lawyer to get legal advice. And the purpose,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's right in. And the police officer has to inform you about that. And if they don't inform you about that, you should bring it up, because it's a great way to challenge the stop in the first place later if you are arrested. That way, a lot of people don't have access to their lawyer. I'd get a lawyer's number, if you know a lawyer, and put their phone number in there and say, I'm going to call you if I ever get pulled over and ask you the question, what should I do?
Okay, but even if you don't have a lawyer, use that 20 minutes, for your system to absorb the alcohol.
That is exactly right. Yes.
So take advantage. It's like that free call at the jailhouse. Take advantage of it. And even if you don't have a lawyer, say, I believe my rights are, I have 20 minutes to call an attorney. Act like you're trying to contact an attorney. Take the 20 minutes.
Time out in a basketball game. You don't need it, but take it. And then the question, if you're really in trouble, like, you know what?
You know
you're
drunk.
I've been doing, playing chandeliers and doing, you know, shots of Jägermeister all night. Refuse. Why would you refuse? Well, there are 2 parts to a pullover or a DWI case. One is the criminal case, the state or the county or the city versus the driver. And then the question about their driving privileges. So there's go to jail, that's A, and then your driving privileges, that's B. If you refuse, they will tell you they will suspend your driver's privileges for a year. But that's not the whole story. You can challenge that later by filing something called a PFR, a petition for review, and trade it out to not lose your license for very long, if at all. And then they don't have the evidence vis-a-vis any kind of proof of your blood alcohol content unless they get a warrant to draw, have your blood drawn. So I'm not trying to make light of it, but the question about if you get pulled over and you are really skunk drunk, refuse. You'll go to jail, but when you get out the next day, you will have a better chance of defending yourself from spending a lot, if any, time in jail, and you may never lose your driving privileges at all. And if you blow and you're about two drinks and you're under, you won't get charged at all unless you are somebody who is under the age of 21, who has a lower threshold, it's 0.02 instead of 0.08, or, and in some cases this is really important, people that have CDL licenses. They have a different tolerance level for that. So,
and for those who don't know, that's a commercial driver's license.
Yeah, for truck drivers. So the best thing is obviously don't drink and drive. But if those right. blue and red lights are on, you pull over, you be as compliant as you can. If they ask you to take this test, you can refuse it, but you have 20 minutes to decide.
Okay, and then we're going to have a full bank of calls now. And if we get a lull, I have a couple other questions. Not because I'm a drinker. I'm not, because this topic comes up all the time this time of year. Yeah. And I have people ask me because they know you're on the show, and I don't know the answer.
And if you've had two or three of these, and some people have had, and they're, you know, they get to be in their 50s and 60s. You know, when they were younger, they may have had one or two. They will use your old case, even if it was dismissed, the old charge, to upcharge you. And if you blow over a third time, they're charging you with a felony now. Fourth time, they're charging you with a D felony. I mean, these things, they're all serious. But if you want to stay out of prison, if you've had multiple and you are in trouble, you're drunk, refuse.
Okay, let's get Peggy in here. Peggy, welcome to 590 The Fan. Thank you for calling. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, everybody. I'm Ammon.
Hello, Peggy. Thank you, Peggy.
Hi, Scott. My question is, my in-laws, about, I'd say it's been about 10 years, they loaned a large sum of money. By now, with interest and stuff, we're talking easily $225,000. To, exactly, to a work partner. And he has never given them a dime. And I'm afraid my question is going to be worthless. They did not have a written contract, only an oral contract, and, you know, an oral agreement. And he went bankrupt a few years after. It was a real estate deal, and he went bankrupt and says he doesn't have any money. But, I mean, he could have been paying them something. But I just wonder, is there any recourse whatsoever? Because now they are in their late 80s, they have health care requirements, you know, nursing care, and that money sure would be helpful right now.
All right, I'll take my amateur stab at this. SOL, do you know what that means? I say no. There's nothing they can do. There's no paper. This was a couple of trusting people who made the mistake of assuming that somebody else had a conscience and would feel compelled to pay them back, and they probably from day one never intended to pay them back. Here's Scott.
Not only does SOL stand for what Frank meant it to stand for, it also stands for statute of limitations. And on a written contract, and this is a Missouri case?
Actually, Michigan.
Michigan, my home state. It's 10 years. An oral contract is 5 years. So the timing is probably too late, unless there was a continuation of the communication and he kept saying, don't worry, I'll pay you, don't worry, I'll pay you. But a couple things jump out besides the SOL or the SOLs. One, bankruptcy. Were your parents ever named as creditors in his bankruptcy or alleged bankruptcy?
I do not know.
They should have been, because otherwise he was making a preference on creditors. The other thing is, and Frank touched upon it, if he never intended to pay them at all, you could extend the statute of limitations by claiming it was fraud. He didn't just not pay them. He screwed them. He never intended to pay these people. This was a plan. This was a deceit from the entire time. And the evidence of that deceit is that he didn't want to get in trouble with the bankruptcy court by calling them real creditors, so he didn't name them. That extends the statute, I think, in Michigan's the same here, is 10 years. But your folks on this case are either out of or running out of time. And if they're going to do anything about this at all, they need to find somebody immediately. Now, the day
here's the other bad news, Peggy. They're in their 80s, okay? The wheels of justice turn very slowly. This stuff takes time. And here's the other thing. Let's say they get a lawyer, spend the money to go after this guy. My guess is even if they win nothing.
Uncollectible.
He doesn't have it.
Because he'll wait another couple years, and then he'll refile bankruptcy, which you can do every 7.
Yeah.
Scott, do you have someone you could recommend to
You need somebody in Michigan? Oh, do I have
his legs? I love her. Love Peggy. Yeah, because at this point, that's really about the only satisfaction you can get is knowing the guy's kneecaps are crushed.
In 1974, I would have about 10 people that I could give you the names of. In 2018, just tell the right people the story. Do they still live in Michigan?
No, they don't. They're back in Missouri.
Okay.
I'll tell you a real quick story, and this is sad about people. I've never loaned anybody that kind of money, but I've loaned lots of people money, and I learned a lot of hard lessons about it. And one time, I loaned a guy, it was several thousand dollars, and he cried. We were at lunch, and he cried and told me how grateful he was. I knew in 3 months that he never had any intention of ever paying me back, because he sent me an email. And essentially in the email he said, you know, I've been giving this some thought, and I realize that I'm just never going to be able to pay you back. I'm sorry. Translation, he thought I had so much money that I didn't really need it anyway, and there's no reason he should pay me back. And I just thought, you're 40-something years old. How can you know that for the rest of your life you're never going to be able to pay me back? What that said was, he didn't intend to. He couldn't possibly know that over the next 40 years he couldn't come up with that money. He just wasn't going to do it. I feel bad for your parents, because they're like so many people who are trying to do a good thing and get screwed.
And now they really could use that money. But okay, I kind of knew the answer, but I just thought I'd check anyway. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good night.
All right. And by the way, Peggy, if we come up with a kneecap breaker, we'll put the word out over the air, and you can get a hold of Scott. Okay?
How much are you willing to pay?
Wait, hold up. Limey wants to know what you'll pay to have this guy's legs broken.
Yeah. What are we talking here? 3 figures? 4? I mean, you know, send me an email. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, this has to be done. Right, thank you, Peggy. Good. Thank you for listening too. We appreciate it. Mike is next. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Frank. I'm AM and PM.
Thank you, Mike.
My question for Scott is, Scott, we're kind of in our mid-60s retirement age, and we're ready to sell our house. And I've heard you say in the past that people do sell their house as is without having to go through the process, and your office can assist with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, my idea is, I mean, we probably maybe, it's a 4-bedroom South County house. It's in fine shape. All the things to sell would be repair, like struck, you know, cosmetics, maybe a new kitchen floor, new carpeting and stuff. So my question would be, what would that process maybe be through your office? And it's like, do you put $20,000 into it to replace the carpet and get $20,000 more, or just save that whole process and sell it as is, but still do you get the value from your house doing it that way?
Mike, if you don't mind, here's what you have to think about. Sometimes people will get rid of a house and take a lowball amount for it. I mean, just bare minimum. If they had just put $15,000 or $20,000 in it, they might have gotten $40,000 more, but they just don't want to go to the trouble. And I get that. I do. Yep. I get it. Let's just get rid of this thing. I think it comes down to how much has to be done to get this house to the point where it's actually attractive to a buyer. And if it's a lot and you don't want to mess with it, you can get rid of it. But if it's just carpeting and paint, well, I'd do the paint and do the carpet and maybe not only get that money back, but a considerable amount more. Scott, you can take it.
I agree with that. People don't generally like to get involved with projects and screw with projects, and they usually, when done right, cost a lot less than you think and bring value, especially in the kitchens and the bathrooms. That's where you make money, by putting money into your house. If you have to put on a roof, obviously, I mean, that's a necessity. But if you're fixing up, you know, some man cave, that's not a good $20,000 investment when you're selling it. But putting 20 grand into your kitchen or 10, that's a great idea, and you'll probably get more than that out of it. Just so you know what I'm talking about, as far as having, you know, my real estate person effectuate the sale, if you have a buyer, most of these real estate people will charge you about 6-7%. And sometimes, Frank, they want a buyer's agent and a seller's agent and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about somewhere around 2% to have a real estate lawyer use a title company to effectuate the transfer of the sale, the deed, and have it properly checked out for any encumbrances or any liens, and then having it recorded. So the savings is in percentage, and you can put that up against what the sale price is. But when I'm talking about somebody selling the house, it's really a very simple transaction as long as the title's clear. And the difference between having a real estate agent, if you wanted to have one, it's about 6-7%, and then having my person do is about 2.
So, Mike, are you trying to avoid a realtor, or is that what you're trying?
No, it's just that I go through that whole. It's a nice South County house. It's structurally sound. Everything is cosmetic to do. So why go through it? Then you say, I replace the carpet. Then the buyer goes, well, I buy the house, but that carpet's ugly.
Exactly. No, that's a great point. No, that's an excellent point, because people will paint a couple of rooms, and then the people come to look at it and go, God, these rooms are ugly.
You must be colorblind.
It wasn't the paint they would have chosen. Yeah, but I think more than carpet or paint, we're talking about other things that are maybe structural, maybe some landscaping in front. But here's the reason I'm glad you called. Scott, I think a lot of people are under the impression you can't sell a house as is, that it has to be up to code and it has to be, an inspector has to go. I don't think that's true, is it? No. You can absolutely sell a house if it needs new circuit breakers and they're not up. You can still sell it as is, right?
Okay. What you're selling is the ownership to the property. You're selling the title work. That's what you're selling. You're not selling something that's habitable, inhabitable, great, not great. You may be buying problems, but if you're aware of that and you don't care, you know, that's fine. That transaction is based upon encumbrances on the ownership. It's not based on the habitability or the beauty of the house. That's the value of the thing. So, you know, having a title company do title work to search out to make sure there are no liens on it and it's clean, the owner, the purported owner, actually owns it and is the only owner, and the buyer gets clear title. That's really the legal work. It's very simple. But
I got a feeling, Mike,
the rest of it's marketing.
I got a feeling you've already made up your mind, Mike. You just want to sell it as is, correct?
Well, I can't say no. I'm just trying to, you know, to avoid the whole process. But I guess Frank and Scott, mine would be, we're in really no hurry.
Right.
It could be 8 months from now. I could say, I'll take this price. And just leave it there, and
you know what?
4 or 5 months, I would be in no hurry and just say, well, to start, I'll just say, first person offers me this much money, we'll sell it.
Okay, that's very smart. If you've got that kind of time and you're under no pressure, that's smart. Because if the as-is price is just nowhere close to what you want, then you're willing to throw a few bucks in it to get a bigger amount. That's smart. I think you have Scott's email address, because I think you want to know who his contact person is for real estate. Do you know Scott's email address?
Yes, I do. It's Scott Sherman, law office of scottsherman.com.
No, you left out part of it.
Law
Give it to him, Scott.
Scott Sherman.
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Yeah. And law office of Scott Sherman @gmail.com.
And Mike, you can check Zillow for, you know, what people are asking for. A lot of the circulars that the real estate agents themselves will send out in your zip code will tell you what these things sell for. You can get a pretty good idea of comps based on all kinds of information on the internet. Set your own price. You're the master of your domain there. But what you're selling when you're selling a piece of real estate is you're selling the title, the ownership of that, and passing that to another person. That's really all you're doing. The rest of it is marketing.
And so the difference of the house, I mean, the neighborhood's in the 300-plus thousand range. If you're talking 6% and 2%, that's a savings right from the start.
It's a huge thing. I've seen it happen. It went very well. But there are people that just are trying to squeeze every piece of drop of juice out of the lemon. I don't fault them for that. But if somebody knows or has something they want to just do and get it done right, you don't have to go through a real estate agent. Don't have to.
Appreciate that. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for listening. Hey, thank you for your service. Almost sound like we're in the military. It's Gary's turn. Gary, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. Okay. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott, I've been going through about a two-year divorce. And I got a meeting with my lawyer in the morning, and I just want to get your take on this. My wife hacked into my First Community credit account.
Oh, boy.
My business account, and she's been paying her phone bill by it since September. Well, I call the First Community, and they're taking care of all this, and I'm going to see my lawyer tomorrow. How bad an offense is this?
Okay, let me ask you a question. When you say hacked into it, is your wife's name on the account? Is she joined?
No, my business is totally separate. She's never had anything to do with my business ever.
Well, guess what? Here's the good news for you. That's theft. I mean, that's theft, flat out. Go ahead, Scott.
It could be more than that, too, but Frank's right on track. The business, is it set up as a corporation? Is it set up as a DBA?
Yeah, it's an S corporation that me and my father owned.
Very good. She has no right, no access to that account whatsoever. It's
never
a separate entity.
No.
Not only that, it's a federal offense. Those computers are protected by a federal law called the Computer Fraud Act, and it's the same kind of stuff. Remember that that skunk, that gal that was bullying that Megan Meyer? She got charged with this, and rightfully so, because your computer was a protected computer. And even though it's in your house, that password and your account with the bank the credit union for your business is a protected computer. So not only is it theft under state law because she used money or stole money, really, for her own personal use, she also broke federal law by hacking into a protected computer. So that should be pretty good ammunition on your negotiation, on your divorce case, that this is not only a no-no, but a very serious offense. It's a crime, both federally and state.
Well, great news, because like I said, I was trying to get excited about our meeting in the morning, and I just wanted to get your take.
I think that depends. Your lawyer may roll his or her eyes, but Computer Fraud Act, that's federal, and then, like Frank said, theft.
Sometimes, Gary, when bad things happen, they turn out to be really good things. And in this case,
that's what I was hoping.
It's bank fraud,
yeah,
too.
In this case, like Scott said, she just gave you some fantastic ammunition to use to go after her in the divorce case.
It's bank fraud, too, because she deprived the banking, the institution of funds.
Well, they told me they was going to give me every penny back, so she's going to owe that, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, they'll come after her. And this is beautiful.
They'll stand in your shoes, and guess what? Nothing stops them from calling the FBI.
No. All right, well, you guys have a Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you Saturday on the trading show.
There you go.
All right, thank you. Good luck tomorrow, Gary.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Man, divorce. You know what? I'm so glad I never had to go through that. And he said, I'm 2 years in. Everybody I know that gets divorced, that's like an average amount of time, 2 years.
I got sick.
I'm really glad I didn't have to do that. Let's get John in here. Then we'll take a very quick break. John, thank you for listening and calling. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hello, John. How you doing, man?
All right, question for you. So my wife is a nurse. She graduated with her master's 3 years ago. She's been working as a registered nurse at a local hospital, and she's yet to obtain her diploma or a transcript from the university. I won't name the university, but we've had all kinds of trouble getting that done. She's got her undergrad stuff complete, but we've never received a diploma or a transcript. And every time we try to contact the university to do the runaround, we've talked to the president. We've even gotten somebody on the board to try to obtain this, and have yet to have any luck. I just don't know what to do.
How long ago did she graduate?
3 years ago.
So oh, my goodness.
Did they have a ceremony where they shook hands?
Yeah, she graduated with honors. I mean, she passed, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the nursing test, but she passed her first one with a minimum amount of questions. I don't think she'd have a problem passing, getting her master's. What? She's going to be a nurse practitioner as well.
What state is that? What state is this place located in?
Missouri.
Missouri. I called the attorney general's office. They got a brand new attorney general coming in, Eric Schmidt. He's a good guy. I'd call his office and say, hey, can you help me out here? There's a Missouri-based institution that my wife spent about $50,000 at, and she has not got her diploma. Any chance they may answer that office's phone call a lot better than yours? Yeah. And let me tell you, that would be the unbelievable class action suit of all time. If they find out that they actually don't have diplomas, please send me an email, and then I'll be able to retire. That would be great.
All right. That will do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Am I right? Rich is next. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that who's next? I want to give everybody an order of holding time. We'll do this, then we'll take a quick break. Rich, thank you for listening and calling, and welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Well, Scott, AM and the PM.
Thank you, Rich.
So I own a condo down at Lake of the Ozarks in the Camdenton area, and I got a certified letter today saying that the pet committee has reported my dog, and they're saying that he is a dangerous animal. And the letter says that he cannot be brought on the premises until he's gone to a class with the owner, and I have to report him to the insurance company and make sure I've got insurance, liability insurance, to cover any problem with the dog. And
what's the basis for the charge that he's dangerous?
The dog barks. He's not dangerous. He's never bit anybody.
He's more of a nuisance then. This is a nuisance deal, not a dangerous situation. Well, it doesn't sound dangerous that a dog barks.
Well, they're reporting it for that reason. I guess he scared someone in our building by barking at them. That person I tried to get to understand that he just is friendly. He's right wagging his tail and he's barking. And if you pet him like other people do, he won't bark at you.
Rich, that letter, I missed it. Cut out. Was that from the condo association, the homeowners association?
Yes.
Well, I hate these people. I hate condominium associations. They're all skunks. I'm suing one right now. You can check it on CaseNet. They're the worst group of nudnik Gladys Kravitzes in the world. The problem is they have all kinds of power. Now, with respect to the insurance, everyone who has a dog, whether that dog is a Chihuahua or Rottweiler, something in between, needs to have liability insurance for your pet, and I'm going to tell you why. It's got nothing to do with your particular dog. If that dog could be the sweetest dog in the world, and I believe that it is, I love dogs, there is now a rule of strict liability. Your dog bites somebody, that's it. There's no more one-bite rule. That's been abrogated in Missouri. Dog bites somebody, you're on the hook. So don't be too bent out of shape about the insurance issue, because you should have that under your homeowner's policy, and you should get a lot of it. I just settled a dog bite case 20 minutes before I came here. The other thing is, I would call for a meeting at this board. They got these stupid rules. They probably don't have any written rules about the procedure of this. And I would ask at that meeting some sort of procedure for how it was determined, as Frank said, that the dog is, quote, dangerous. Because if they don't have a written rule, they don't have a rule. Then they're just making a rule up. And I would ask whoever wrote that letter in writing, if you have a lawyer down there at the lake, I'd have them write it. If you want to write it yourself, that's fine. But I would demand to show you in their condo association bylaws or their rules what this dangerous dog rule is all about. Because the only way to fight back with these fools is to use their own procedures and policies against them, and I'll bet you they've never read it. They just fired off a letter.
Well, they just enacted a pet rules about 6 months ago.
Did they give you a copy of it?
Yes.
Does it say anything about the definition of dangerous, like Frank said?
It just talks about if an animal is known with a known propensity, tendency, or disposition to attack, or when unprovoked chases or approaches a person on property in a menacing attitude.
Okay, well, that doesn't describe your dog.
No, I'd call for a hearing.
Yeah, Rich, that doesn't describe your dog.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything until you had a hearing about that issue. Because the one thing about these condos, there's probably a lot of them, but the worst thing about the condos is the condo association, and they have so much power, and people don't think about when they're going to buy a condo. They think about the lake, they think about the boat slip, they think about the hot tub, but they don't think about the condo association. And it's not your fault, because nobody does. But here they come, Gladys Kravitz and her sisters and brothers, the worst people on earth. But yeah. But do it by the rules that they made themselves. And if they won't do that, I know a pretty tough lawyer down in Camdenton that you should talk to. He's a pretty smart guy, and you should get some counsel, because I don't want to see you have to give your dog up, and I don't want to see you have to humiliate yourself, because after you do what they tell you, they're going to make something else up the next time.
And they also have no right to call your dog dangerous because it barked. That's right. That's not danger. That's nuisance. Okay, that's a different thing. They chose to use the word dangerous. Challenge them.
Yeah. Did they cite your dog's breed as part of their determination?
They say it's a boxer mix.
Oh, wow. Horrible. Oh, the worst. I mean, they're the sweetest dogs in the world.
He is. We got 9 grandkids, and he's perfect with them. And anybody that comes up to him and even talks to him, he'll...
You know what this is about, Rich? You know what this is about? This is about one person. I promise you. One person.
I guarantee it, too. I know.
It's that person that every neighborhood has, every condo complex has, that piece of crap person who delights in going around trying to find something wrong with something that everybody else has in their condo. It's one person. Don't let them bully you. We got to go. Do you?
If you get me that.
Okay. Do you have Scott's email address?
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Bingo. I'll give you the name of my buddy down in Camdenton, and if he can't help you, he'll find somebody down there that deals in this. The cesspool of condo associations.
All right, Rich, good luck. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Mike, you're next. If we can work in two more, somebody jump in. The line now is open, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, you will be able to hear the fantastic original yard sale with your two hosts, Scott Sherman, who's sitting right here, Dan Strauss, who's sitting right here. They will entertain you. They will sell something for you. And even if you don't listen to buy or sell anything, just because it's fun to listen to other people and listen to these guys, I encourage you. I think you'll be a regular Saturday morning listener. Get up 6:30, put the coffee on, and get ready for a great yard sale from 7 to 9. And the reason I mention it is because of the sponsor. Without the sponsor, there'd be no yard sale, and that is First Community Credit Union. You heard the other caller say that his wife hacked into his, and I love the fact he didn't just say bank account, he said my First Community account. First Community Credit Union is a terrific place to bank, whether it's in his case, business banking, personal banking. They love small businesses, by the way. If you need a banking partner for your small business, for line of credit, or you need hopefully your business is expanding, you need some new equipment, you need to hire some new people, maybe you need to move and get a bigger place, talk to the people at First Community Credit Union. If you're like most of us, and you just need a place to do your banking, checking, debit card, credit card, blah, 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 First Community Credit Union. There are several reasons this is the number one, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Over 40 locations. You can find out a whole lot more at firstcommunity.com.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn, celebrating 10 years of being a PI with a new book, Bad Mood, Good Mood. 50 hilarious and true stories of the life of a PI. A great $15 stocking stuffer, or send someone an ebook version or an audiobook version for just $10. Check it out online, badmoodgoodmood.com.
The holiday season is here. Do you want to carve your turkey or ham oh so right and so fresh? Or do you want your relatives to complain about your knives again?
Why are your knives so dull?
Of course, no one wants to hear that. So bring your knives back to life at Bertarelli Cutlery. They can put a sharp edge back on your knives and get you ready for the holiday season. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, located at 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
All right, it's Thursday, which means Scott Sherman is with us. We should have plenty of time to get Mike taken care of. Mike, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hi, Mike. I'm doing great.
Welcome.
Hey, I have a question on class action lawsuits.
Yes, sir.
My wife had multiple MRIs done with a medication that they're doing class action lawsuits on now. Do you go with that, or do you get your own lawyer?
Man, you teed that up. Yeah, please.
Can I try this? Mike, I'm going to say don't waste your time and don't get your hopes up. Class action lawsuits are for the benefit of the attorneys. They'll make a fortune. You'll get a check for $3.80. Scott?
Mostly true. However, and there's always a however in life. A lot of these class action lawsuits start in federal courts on the East Coast and West Coast, mainly for some reason in Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And what ends up happening is the heavy lifting has already been done. That piano has been lifted up the stairs. And then these other lawyers, these TV advertising people come in and want to, you know, put the, I guess, candelabra somewhere and have you pay for it. What I would say is this. If the heavy work has already been done, use the advertising as information that there's something out there you can get without having to put a lot of effort in. But don't call those fishermen. Don't call those people because they're just going to take your information and ship it off to a different firm that you'll never talk to. If there's an advertising class action possibility out there that you think applies to your wife, and this is the choice of a lawyer is an important decision, shouldn't be based on advertising. If you send me an email, I will send you to my class action people who know about all of these things, and they do not rip you off, and they, if there's something to get, they will get it for you, and it'll be a local person. They won't cost you nothing, and if there's something to get, you'll get it, because otherwise you're just going to get put in with a big pile of people, and what Frank said will happen to you. I wouldn't recommend anybody really being the lead plaintiff on a new class action claim. Hey, this happened to me. I think I have a class action suit. I would never recommend somebody do that. But if the heavy work has already been done in the federal courts in Pennsylvania, New York, or California, and there's money that's set aside, like the asbestos stuff, it's just sitting there, I would then recommend you to go see somebody, and I would give you the name of the person because I trust those people.
All right, Mike, do you have Scott's email address?
I do believe so. What is that?
Let's hear it.
It would be Law Office of Scott Sherman .com.
Yo!
.gov.
So close. Let's go ahead, Scott.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at Gmail.
gmail.com.
All right.
Scott with two T's?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Mike.
S-H-E-R-M-A-N.
That is correct.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you very much.
My goodness, we're out of time again. I want to thank, as Scott does, Peroni's Pizza and the wonderful folks at Peroni's who crank out that terrific food, not just pizza, but toasted ravioli, mostaccioli, and everything they make is great. There are two locations, Florissant and St. Peter's. Don't forget, folks, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., all-you-can-eat buffet at both Peroni's locations. Banquet facilities up to 100 people at the Florissant location. And check them out online. Take a look at the menu. Peronispizza.com. You spell it P-E-R-R-O-N-I-E-S. Peroni's Pizza. Scott, thank you. We'll do it
again
next Thursday, all right?
You betcha.
Scott's on the way out, and on the way in is Tim Woodburn. with the news. Stay right where you are because the Playhouse is coming up. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Federal prosecutors are investigating whether Donald Trump's inauguration committee misspent some of the $107 million in donations it took. The Wall Street Journal reports that the criminal probe stemmed from material that was taken from President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen. The gunman accused in a deadly Christmas market shooting is dead, according to multiple reports citing French police. There's a heavy police presence in an area of Strasbourg tonight, the city where three people were killed and a dozen injured after he opened fire in the market on Tuesday. Authorities say 13 locations in New York City are included among the dozens of